Mahalo. Warm Pacific greetings to all our listeners. I am Mele Mele Puka, your host for today. And also, we have another of our hosts, producers in the studio, Mr. Lorenzo Kaisara. Lorenzo and Fale have been working together on Te Amo while I was away. Yes, looking after my kids, took some time out. And Lorenzo, he is well known out in our communities in South Auckland and Greater Auckland, doing a lot of work, community work, working with a lot of groups and organisations and promoting health services and upcoming Pacific events. Mahalo, Lorenzo.
Mahalo le soifua I lau sunga mele mele puka ya fa mahalo atu fo I le to fene staimi ona fa ilua atu le olona suafa. Good morning and talo fa lava and warm Pacific greeting to all our listeners and all our fans out there. It is great to be back on the show, mele mele.
Good to have you back, Lorenzo. Lorenzo, you know, how was your Christmas and New Year's? How's the family?
Christmas and New Year's, it was all about celebration.
Yes.
To celebrate not only the birth of our Lord Saviour Jesus Christ, but also to celebrate all the work that we have done throughout that year.
Yes.
And there was nothing better than celebrating it with your family, you know, with my beautiful wife and my, you know, precious little gift, my daughter.
Yes.
And New Year's, it was all about, you know, planning for the New Year. So it was great.
Mahalo, Lorenzo. Hey, we've got a lot more to share, and man, good to have you back on board. Uso.
Mahalo, mahalo.
Also, we are honoured to have right here in person with us, one of Samoa's young women entrepreneurial leaders, Esmeralda Lotam. She will be discussing an important upcoming event this weekend, Pacific Youth Health Expo. And yes, Lorenzo and myself are... we've already registered, and we're looking forward to this event. So to all our listeners out there, you best make sure to check out this Pacific Youth Health Expo. The lineup of guests alone are amazing, inspiring Pacific people, inspiring others through who they are and the amazing work they do. So yes, you know, it's awesome to have young, strong women leaders from the Pacific. You know, we have some of the best leaders from the Pacific. You know, I'm thinking Jacinta Falili from Wana Research and her whole team. Amio, Ikihele, Mary Roberts, Dr. Saini, Telfa, Dr. Teal Wheeler. I mean, the list goes on. Look at Dr. Monique Faliafa of Leva, the amazing work her organization are doing for our people. So we are blessed to have these leaders paving the way, working for our people, our communities. Just a bit about our guest, Rowdy.
Yep.
She has a, she's quite educated. You know, she has a Bachelor of Health Science from Auckland University. And she also completed her Master's in Public Health, specialising in Pacific Health. Wow. She, as she said, well, she are part of, she'll be discussing the company that she has formed. And part of starting up that company was address mental health and raising awareness. You know, without using... specific words and the stigma attached to them. So, as she said, approaching it from a different lens. I like that quote. Approaching it from a different lens. Esmeralda, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Hi, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on your show. Thanks for having me here. It's a good morning to start.
Beautiful, Esmeralda. Lorenzo, brother, just feel free to jump in any time during this Tala Tala Noa. Rowdy, you know, before we get into the work you do, you know, this amazing upcoming Pacific Youth Health Expo and the lineup you have here. Can you just share with our listeners a bit about yourself, who you are? Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Yes. So I born in New Zealand, but my parents are both Samoan, so I was raised in a very strong Samoan household. That's still the number one language used at home. I was educated at Carmel College, which was a Catholic girls' school on the North Shore. And then I moved out west when I was about 15. After college, went to university, and that was pretty much a given in our household. We didn't really have a choice. It was, which university are you going to? Not, are you going to university? So, yeah, I went there, and the whole dream was really to become a doctor, to be honest. It was to get into the medical field, and I tried for years, and it didn't quite eventuate, but I got in other, got into other studies of health, and that's where I find myself now, more in the preventative side of health. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting on a panel interviewing for when you go into med, you have to interview.
Yes.
And one of the questions was, why do you want to become a doctor? And I said, I want to help people. And they said, you know, there's other jobs out there. You don't have to be a doctor. But, you know, I had my mindset on that particular goal. And when it wasn't reached, obviously, you know, just like one of your dreams are kind of crushed and you don't see any way out. But looking at where I've come now in health, I think this is where God's put me, because I think this is where I was supposed to be. So he blocked off those the path for a reason, and I'm finding it now. Yeah.
Yes. Rowdy, so you live here in Auckland or back in Samoa?
Funny question. I never know how to answer that one because, I'm in between many different places. So I've been here for almost a year now. It'll be a year in March. And I came over for medical, to get my own medical checkups and stuff like that. But I was living in Samoa since 2016. I moved over to, my grandfather was over there, and I just wanted to be closer to him. He was always living in Mangere, so I could always drive down the road to see him. But when he moved overseas, it was a bit, you know, 3-hour plane ride was a bit far for me. So I decided to move over. I got a job, not in the health industry in Samoa. I got a job in film and TV, and I've managed to keep that job, and I'm still working at that now. But I'm in between Samoa, Australia, and New Zealand. I've established business in Samoa and in Australia, and fingers crossed, maybe sometime in the future, touch wood, we can come into New Zealand as well.
That's right. That's amazing. It looks like you've been really busy in the past few years. Mm-hmm. Rowdy, so you're an actress?
No, I'm definitely behind the camera, okay. And no, this is probably a first time I've been. I don't know if you call this an interview or a conversation, but usually I'm the one asking the questions. So yeah,
that's amazing. Okay, Rowdy, you know you have this amazing upcoming event, the Pacific Youth Health Expo, that. I know you've been working tirelessly leading up to this event. Would you like to share a bit more about this this event?
Absolutely. And I think I just want to touch on what you said as well with working on it. For me, when you are so passionate about a subject, or when you are doing it with a purpose, I don't think it's really work. I mean, it's, for me, I'm doing what I love, so working for myself, I mean, that I've, it's hard to say I'm a business owner because I don't really feel like I am, but I think it's more of an idea that I have, and I go with that. But I think when you're so driven to make sure that your goals or your aims are achieved, then it's not really work, it's more like a hobby. So yeah, I'm very grateful to be doing what I'm doing.
That's amazing. Yeah. And yes, you're absolutely, this passion you have, share with us the inspiration behind this event you have coming up this weekend.
Sure. There's a couple different things that have kind of driven me to do this health expo. In November last year, I was in Brisbane, and I had my first mental health expo. And that was different. The mood was a little bit somber, so I kind of wanted to change that and make it real fun and real, like, something hip that the kids would kind of...
relate to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, make it more interactive, I guess. So before, I was working in Fiji for in October, November, I think it was.
Yes.
But before I went over, there was a suicide in our our church group that I didn't know them personally, but they had connections with a lot of people that I had connections to. And it's something that I think a lot of us in the Pacific can relate to, or, you know, we know someone of, or we know a family member or a friend who have lost to these incidences. And when I was working in Fiji, you know, I was doing what I had to do during the day, but then I'd go home and I'd think, you know, this isn't us. Yeah. This shouldn't be us in the 21st century. And I was like, what can we do differently? What can we do better? So that was a whole reflection time for me of, you know, what am I doing here in the Pacific? Am I actually, you know, is there a purpose for me to be here? So really, this health expo, I've just pulled on people that I went to school with, that I worked with in the health industry, you know, just my colleagues like Jacinta, I worked with at the Auckland University.
Yes.
Jemima Tiasiasith, she will be talking about addictions and suicide especially, yeah. And I never met her, but I met her when I came back from Fiji. She her brother introduced me to her over email.
Yes.
And she didn't know me from a bar of soap, but she was so welcoming when I met her, because I had given her my idea and, you know, this is what I want to do. And she was just so receptive, and she was like, you know, I'm all on board, and I'll bring, you know, the students that you need and the support that you need. So, I mean, it's had its challenges putting something like this together, because it's not something that is comfortable in the Pacific to talk about, and it's not something that, I mean, I was talking to a group of parents the other day, and one of the fathers said, it's not comfortable for me to talk about these things with my kids. And I said, well, that's exactly why we're coming in, because we're trying to say that it is okay to talk about it. And in part of the expo as well, there'll be a parents group, there'll be a males and a females 16 yes. plus group, so that we can break off and talk about things of how to address topics that are uncomfortable in our homes. Because it's all well and good to bring this expo, but it's our parents as well that we need to involve in this, because they are the ones leading our families and they are the heads of our families. And I think, you know, that saying, it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes.
It, you know, my dad always talks about, if you break a bone in your body, it's not just that part of your body that mm-hmm. hurts. Mm-hmm. So if someone in your family is suffering from something, it's not just that person that's suffering, it's your whole family that feels it. So it's really, this expo is welcoming to all families, like, you know, of all ages. And I didn't want to be exclusive to just the youth,
yes.
because once we do that, then, you know, you already are cutting off.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're already cutting off the other people in your family. And they're the ones that are the other pieces to the puzzle, so to speak. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well said, man.
I think I'm talking too much.
No.
Feel free to jump in, Louis.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the lineup. You know, even those on the discussion panel, I noticed you got Dwayne Fale Tanoi, and I just got to meet him recently too, and he's such a humble fella, and just hanging around him, and I can see he'll bring a lot to the table with this upcoming...
Definitely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Expo.
Yeah, so the whole idea is obviously, I mean, mental health, but looking at it, like you said, from a different perspective. So I know it's the tough stuff to talk about, and a lot of people don't really want to talk about it. So what I've done is I've tried to soften the session a little bit. So in the morning, we'll have someone talking about health literacy, and that's for 4PL. She comes with a Masters of Public Health background as well, honours. I went to school with her, so she's great to have on board, and she'll be kind of laying the foundation down, setting the scene. And in some of her research, the astounding numbers, I tell you, 90% of the New Zealand population are health illiterate. That's yes, not so even Pacific, or there's not even youth alone. That's the whole New Zealand population.
Mainstream. Can you please share with us, with our listeners, even myself, so what is health literacy? What does that mean?
Sure, the definition is equity, so the quality of being fair. So for decades, our Pacific people have pretty much experienced poor health, poor access, and we've suffered from poorer health consequently. So in order to try and reduce things like our hospitalization rates, reduce both communicable and non-communicable diseases, we need to improve our health literacy, which is kind of like our education around the health system. So not just the health system, but as ourselves, you know, learning about our bodies more and things like that. So I think one of the things why we're not seeking health care is because we don't understand the importance of it. Take, for example, and this is, you know, I know this is still quite fresh, but for example, the measles epidemic that happened in Samoa. I mean, then this is a large assumption, but may not have been, I mean, because the studies haven't been done quite yet, but they may not have had their immunisation shots done because they didn't know the consequences or the dire consequences of if you didn't have your immunisation shots, or if you did, you know, what weighing those things up. So I think it's really, and there was another thing with the measles thing that happened. It was, okay, it's great. I mean, and I take my hat off and I applaud everyone who's put in their donations and sending containers over. That's awesome effort and things like that. And I don't take anything away from you guys. But I think what we needed to look at now from a public health perspective is, okay, so now what do we do to move forward from this? Now what can we do to learn so that this never happens
again in the future?
Exactly, in Samoa, in Tonga, in Fiji, so that never happens in the Pacific again. And I think that's a lot of why a lot of other medical professionals came to Samoa from different parts of the world so that they could learn as well. So if it does happen again, you know, what processes are in place to avoid these things and mitigate the issues, I guess.
So, you know, hopefully in the future this measles epidemic will never happen again. So what do we need? What lessons we learned from, you know, what just happened recently to prevent that from happening again?
I feel very I don't know if I'm the right person to talk on that. I wasn't in Samoa at the time and I didn't see anything that happened in the health system. I do know that a lot of my friends travelled over to help. Their medical doctors and Tuila Percival that you mentioned earlier, she was at Lelu Moenga Hospital with her medical staff. And you know what, I think that Samoa definitely did their best, and I can't take anything away from the health system and what they did there. I mean, they all work with the same heart of you know, we're not working because it's our jobs, we're working because we're parents and we're siblings, and you know, these are not just kids of our villages, they're our own kids. And that's, I think that's the work ethic that we as Pacific people have carried on for generations. And I think that's what makes us different and what makes us special. You know, and that's why it's difficult for people to go into the health system, especially in New Zealand. You know, if you look at our parents, if they don't want to go see the doctor, it's because they think, you know, well, what are they going to know about us? You know, they can't relate to us. They don't know about our diets and things like that, you know. So I think it's trying to break those barriers of and that's what the health expo also, I have some of my doctors and nurses, my friends there, who look like us, and who talk like us, who eat like us, and who can relate as well to things because they've been brought up in Pacific backgrounds as well. And it's kind of just to debunk myths that, you know, doctors wear white coats and, you know, stethoscopes around their necks kind of thing, that, you know, they're people too, and that they can, that there is help out there, We just got to find the right people. And I think it's, you know, I'm not reinventing the wheel here. I'm just trying to marry the two, you know, bring in the health professionals and bring in these health educators and bring in the people who need it the most, which is, you know, our people.
Absolutely.
And that's, yeah, that's why I'm here.
You know, that's so true. And with the Pacific Youth Health Expo, you know, just I'm just reading, I like one of the aims for the day is empowering youth to take control of their own lives and prioritize their health. You know, that's one thing I keep on banging away week in, week out, taking ownership of our own lives and our health, you know, so we don't become a burden unnecessarily later on in our lives.
Mm.
You know, and one way is to improve our health literacy.
I think with the prioritizing health, I know it's hard because, I mean, I'm speaking from experience as well. We get, we're raised in a way that we always put others' needs before our own, you know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing at all. You know, that's where mum and dad teach us that way because, you know, that's how we get our blessings as well. For example, you know,
true,
you
that,
take the veifungo to mum and dad after
they eat him.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's, you know, that's the act of service as well. But in a way, when you're constantly putting other people's needs before your own and you kind of yours gets put on the back burner, on the back seat, and that reoccurring cycle, it can just eventually wear you down. And I think we're doing it to ourselves a lot of the time. So just getting the youth to realize that their health is important and to get them to realize it now rather than putting an ambulance at the bottom of the hill, so to speak, it's preventative cures and early intervention is much better than nothing at all.
Yeah, exactly. And it's too late, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's so true. Like the way I see it, or from my experience, is that, you know, our parents, our grandparents, the ones that look after the younger ones, they work their butts off. You know, they do long hours just to, and which is true. Their reasoning is, you know, they're trying to look after the kids, you know, and pay off the bills. But at the same time, they're really, their own health is taking a pummeling, you know. And it can be a bad cycle in itself, you know, because the kids won't know any different and do the same as what their parents are doing. Working hard out, eating not the best food. As you mentioned before, you know, our NCD rates and communicable diseases rates are just, you know, on the wrong end of the scale. So, you know, that's why I'm looking forward to this Pacific Youth Health Expo and...
Same. Yeah, I mean, I think when I was... I mean, one memory that came back to me when I was trying to put this together was sitting in lecture rooms at Auckland Uni, and there was only a small bunch of us, maybe about, I don't know, 10% out of the whole lecture room, but always been used as the prime example for New Zealand health stats, you know. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be great one day to have one of our brown faces standing at the front of that lecture room and saying, you know, we're not the problem, that, you know, there are other things. Obviously, you know, we know that there are other things that impact health, but, you know, we got to work together from a grassroots level so that we can make sure everyone's on the same playing field, you know, so that our life expectancy is the same as the rest of the New Zealand population. You know, why should we be any different? Why should we live shorter lives and less quality lives? So that's the kind of the what I'm trying to target by putting events on like this. And like you said, with our family members, like our parents and our grandparents and things like that, they, you know, moved to different countries so that we could get better education, better lifestyles and things like that. And they've done amazing jobs. I mean, you look across the world and see how far our people have got, you know, and that's all because of the hard work of our ancestors before us. So definitely don't take anything away from them. But I think looking now, we're in 2020, and looking forward, I think the dynamics have somewhat shifted. And I think now, you know, hard work alone is not going to get you as far as it had in the past. I think hard work, and now I think education is key. And I think that's what we really need to try and hone in on, that education can be fun and health can be fun. Yeah. But, yeah, I guess it's just trying to get people on board first, because there's just, you know, we're going against so much. Like, it's an uphill battle. You know, you should say we're going to talk about mental health and people already switch off. So it's really those key words that we're trying to break the stigma around, like you said. Yeah.
And that's where you come in, eh? Like, looking at it from a different lens.
Yeah. You know? Try to. I'm trying.
So, you know, from the grassroots level, what can we do, you know, our people out there in the community who are stuck in that cycle, just working hard and, you know, kind of putting their house on the back burner?
Yep.
Some grassroots solutions for our people out there.
I think if you're someone who is suffering from something, or, you know, you want some help, I think educate yourself in a way, read up on pamphlets, research it. I went to a conference saying that, you know, the more you read, pretty much, obviously, you know, the more you know, your education shouldn't stop, really. You should be learning something new every day, and that contributes to how you are able to relate to your families, and how you can go out into your workforce and do a better job as well. But I think for families who are supporting people going through things like this, I think the first things are to notice are signs. So if things have changed, and like I said, I'm not the one to be, you know, talking about this properly. I think that's why I brought in all these professionals, because they're the ones that you should be taking their advice firsthand. So, I mean, I don't want to say too much and, you know, get it wrong kind of thing. So I'd like to really encourage everyone to come to this Health Expo. It's free. So I wanted to make sure it was as accessible to anyone and everyone as possible. So bring the kids along. I'll have Harbour Sport there to take the kids for an hour, so the parents can actually, you know, relax and able to take advantage of this. I mean, I've got one of the guys flying in from Wellington.
Latutu Manga,
and I heard him speak at another conference for the first time, and I was wowed. he works at the Brainwave Trust, so he'll be going through a lot of the neuroscience background around, you know, mental health, and in our mentality, our Pacific mentality, I know this because I came from it as well, is, you know, it's nothing, get hard kind of thing. But, you know, it's not till you actually go through it yourself that you realise it's something deeper than that, you know. So he'll come from that background of why you can't change a thought process, or, you know, for some reason. And he's got his own experience as well, which I think just adds weight.
Personal experience. I've heard him speak, and he shared a powerful personal testimony of the stress and pain he had to go through for his kid.
Yeah, definitely. So I think he'll be, and he's just flying in for this event, just for the day, and back again on the plane in the evening. So I really have to say thank you to everyone who's jumped on board, whether they have volunteered, whether they have said, yes, I'll come and guest speak, and Lorenzo for for jumping on board and partnering up with me today as well. Because, you know, this is not a paid event. These speakers have full-time jobs, and they're not coming to get paid for this. Yeah. They're coming because they see the vision.
They believe in your passion.
Well, they believe
what you're trying to achieve.
I think they believe in the youth. That's why they're here, yeah. Along with, you know, many of us, they want to see Pacific Health thrive. And, you know, who else better to get than the experts in the field to help push and encourage our kids to do the best that they can. And who knows, maybe we'll get a couple of doctors out of this expo, maybe we'll get a couple of nurses wanting to get into the health field, you know. But you'll never know unless you plant that seed early. And looking at, I mean, if we think about, if we talk about preventative health, the thing that's so difficult about working in this arena is we don't see results straight away. Yes. You know, people are hospitalised and we get medication and, you know, over time we get better and doctors are able to see physical results. But when you work in primordial health or primary health, it's hard to see how well these preventative measures are actually working. We can only see when we look at stats, and you know, often that's too late. Mm-hmm. You know, if you become a statistic, it's, you know, have we done enough kind of thing. And we might not be able to see any of our I guess rewards reaped in our lifetime, but if we can see it in our kids, or you know, their kids in the future generations, just like our grandparents, you know, they planted seeds many years ago, and we're able to be educated now, and we're able to see the world and in different places around the world. And I was when I was in China for the youth collab, yeah, that was the first thought that popped into my mind. I was like, wow, you know, this is amazing, Mum and Dad. And I told Dad on the phone, I said, you know, your dream of coming to New Zealand to enable us to get a education, look now, you know, I'm on the other side of the world. And I was just so grateful and so, so blessed to be able to experience things like that, and to think about...
where your parents have...
Yeah, but not only that, about all the other kids in Samoa, and how can we share this experience? How can we make this better? I mean, the youth collab was about young individuals. Sorry, am I taking over the show? It was about young entrepreneurs and their ideas to impact change in both Asia and the Pacific. And I went over with one of my other colleagues from Samoa. His name was Mose Mose. He owns Makiki Online. And
what's that about?
That's selling things online. Yeah, it's on Facebook, I think it is.
Amazon?
Yeah, similar. It's people with in Samoa alone. So, yeah. I
think so it's focused for the Samoans?
Yeah.
In Samoa.
Yeah, I think it's buy and sell. Buy. Yeah.
Okay. Me. AKA Samoan Trade Me.
Yeah, totally. That's the one. So yeah, I was able to go over to China in August last year, and to be among, you know, we're our population in Samoa, 200,000, in comparison to, you know, you look at India and China, the people we were competing against, you know. But to be able to make it to the finals and to stand on stage alongside, you know, shoulder to shoulder with other people from the Philippines, from China, and I think the other guy was from India who won. It was nice, but I thought it wasn't enough. Because I thought, you know, the trophy looks pretty, but what's it going to do for Samoa, you know? And I think that's where this Health Expo comes, because now, you know, with the research that has gone in behind this expo, I think hopefully the dream is that it'll help one or two people in the room, you know, if not more. And they'll be able to filter it through to their families, and those families will be able to filter it through to the communities. Mm-hmm. And somehow it'll definitely reach back home, you know. It's not that far away. I think, you know, we've all got families who are still living back in the islands, and
yes.
I think the more we work hard at it, the easier it'll filter through to our families back home.
So when exactly is this Pacific Youth Health Expo, Rowdy?
Sure, it starts on Friday. So Friday's the official opening, and that will be we'll be joined by our friend Janine Toivaiti, who was our previous our Miss Samoa a couple years ago, along and she was also Miss South Pacific. So I thought it was very important to get someone who the youth kind of recognised, and also someone not in the health field to talk about the importance of health and what it means to them, so that the people in the health industry know that, you know, okay, this is the reason why we're here. This is what the reason why we're at work and doing what we're doing. So Friday night is specifically catered to health professionals, guest speakers, and those who are really interested in health. And it's just to pretty much outline the importance of the Youth Expo the following day. So again, open invitation. This is my direct invitation to you, if you're listening, to come and join us, especially on Friday night, on the information evening night. On Facebook, look up 8 Sports, EI, the number 8, HT Sports. If not, I think we can put our email up with you. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, man, okay. We'll put a post on our page as well. And Lorenzo,
cool.
Man, I know you've got a whole heap of networks. You got that communications thing going on out south. Please, Lorenzo, you know, use all your networks to put this amazing Pacific Youth Health Expo out there, you know?
Yeah. So that starts at 6 on Friday, and it'll be an early night. It'll finish around 8 because we've all got a big day to look forward to on Saturday. And Saturday, doors will open at 9, and then we'll kick off the sessions at 10. Have a little lunch if that'll entice you more people to come, and our afternoon session will kick off again at 1, and that'll finish around 4, so hoping for another early day before the sun sets. I think some kids need to get home early, for school.
Wow. Lorenzo, you alright?
Yes.
Still awake.
So, yes, please. Also, if you can, just blast it out. We do what we can do to promote this this Pacific Youth Health Expo, you know, try and get as many people as we can to attend, you know. And as Rowdy said, if we can help spark, you know, whoever's there, especially our young ones, to make a change, you know, good changes.
Yeah, make it a family event.
Yes, family-friendly event.
Make it a team bonding event. Yeah.
How did you manage to get hold of Tony Laulu?
Again, I didn't meet him before this, but I just reached out to him on Instagram, and I just said, hey, listen, I've got something on. Would you like to meet up? And he was, again, very receptive to the idea. And then I met him again at a conference for mental
Jacinta's one.
Yes, it was Moana Research. Yeah, I think it was
statistics.
Child health. Yeah, child health. So yeah, we met in person there. Yeah. I have not met Janine Tuivaiti to this day, so I'm really looking forward. I got a meeting with her tonight, so I'm really looking forward to meeting her for the first time. But again, she was quite receptive to the idea of coming on board. And yeah, and a lot of the other people who I've got as speakers, I've never actually met.
But an amazing group of people around you, a good team to help you pull this thing off.
Definitely.
Looking forward to it.
Ditto.
Yeah. Hey, and definitely if I can bring you in back again next week.
Yeah, sure.
Can I ask you, and you also work in media? I mean, yes, you know, you work on the TV show and that. Do you work in media as well, on the radio? Because you're a really good speaker. You know?
Have I worked on radio? No, haven't.
In media in general?
No, I haven't. No. I just, this is just me.
Because I've met you a couple of the conferences before, you know, just kicking back in the back, and it was pretty cool. But, man, you're like on fire right now.
I know, who's interviewing who? No, I think, yeah, we have met at a couple different conferences, huh?
Awesome, yeah. Eh? Got to meet a few other people like yourself, you know, and it's, I love those networking or those type of
They say, they say it's a small world, huh? So, and when you're from the Pacific, it's even smaller.
Look, I was talking to Lorenzo when he came in. I said, hey, we got this amazing guest coming on. Her name's Esprod. He knows exactly who you were.
It's funny because we've been emailing each other the past few weeks, and then he came outside. He was like, "Are you Esmeralda?" I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm Lorenzo." I was like, "Oh, nice to finally meet you."
Watch out for this guy. He's dangerous. You know, he knows a lot of people.
Well, you know what? I got more posters in the car, so don't leave. I'll track you down.
No, thank you, Esmeralda, for being here. Mm. Lorenzo, anything else you'd like to add on also?
No, I think my takeaway from your talk today is how you mentioned that your health should be a family matter. It shouldn't be an individual matter, but it should be, which is why I'm really looking forward to being part of this expo, because this is about family, children, and the whole family.
Yes.
So, yeah let's do it together, because we can't do it individually.
That's right, so, yeah.
Awesome talk. Awesome, Talanoa. It's really, I feel proud, Uso. Yes. Just proud to have someone like, who's Samoan, flying around the world, raising awareness and also raising our flag. Wow, awesome.
I wouldn't want to raise any other flag.
Rowdy, I want to ask you again, man, and you formed a company, a business.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us, what is AIDS Sports Gear? What are they about?
Sure. So, when I was living in Samoa, when I moved over in 2016, and then my pa passed away a year later, and it was difficult for me at that time to kind of, just a lot happened over that time. So I turned to exercise to try and get back on track, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I was just training a lot. I would run a lot, and I lost a lot of weight during that time. And so I had to naturally go out to buy new clothes. And when I went out, I couldn't find any of the gear that I needed. It was either I couldn't afford it because it was too expensive, things like, the Under Armour, Nike and all that,
very
flash
expensive
stuff. Yeah. Or the other ones that I could afford, it wasn't the material that I could train in because it was too thick and it wasn't moisture wicking. So I took that year to do my own market research, and I did my market research in Samoa and outside of Samoa. And I shipped a lot of my gear in. And I was like, you know what, if I'm facing this problem, what are other girls in Samoa facing? And what are other kids who are, I'm not saying I was an aspiring athlete, but, for those kids who are aspiring athletes, what are they doing to be able to, we expect so much from our athletes. And, all you have to do is, you look at mainstream media and you think of, all the pressure that we put on our kids who are trying to develop. But what resources do they have on the ground in, their backyard to help them? So that's how 8 Sports Gear started. It was looking at things, looking at specific sports equipment and specific sports apparel and gear to bring to the Pacific. So I've started with compression wear.
Yes.
I make compression garments, arm compressions, calf compressions, and full leg compressions. And the leg ones, the reason why I made those is when I used to play sports in Samoa, I wasn't comfortable with showing my legs, especially on the field, on the touch field. So I'd always been wearing tights and stuff. But I thought with other girls and not wanting to, but wanting to be comfortable, so wearing shorts. So that's where the leg compressions came in. And the calves are always very popular with the athletes and the kids and things, and the arms obviously for things like netball and basketball players. But the whole science behind compression wear is that it improves blood flow, so it gets your oxygenated blood up into your heart your deoxygenated blood to your heart faster, oxygenated blood out to the muscles that are working, so your recovery time is improved by 4 times as much as if you weren't wearing compression. So, and it's up to the individual really if they wear it during or post for recovery. I was talking to Gordon Titchens in November when I was there with them for the Oceania Sevens, and he was saying that he talks to his team about wearing compression gear, and he makes it pretty much compulsory for recovery and for their flights to make sure that they wear that, because they've got such a fast turnaround, they're playing either 2 or 3 games a day. So it could be, you know, for how many game, however many games during
a recovery
48-hour period.
Paramount, hey?
Oh, of course, because, you know, there for them, their body is... that's their work, that's their income, you know. So if you don't look after your body, you know, you've got no bread to put on the table, kind of thing. So, you know, really looking after your recovery is, it takes much longer than the time that you're actually on the field. So it's really important to look after your body. And I think that we don't, we take our bodies for granted a lot of the time because it's just there and it, it does what it needs to do. You know, we go to sleep, we wake up, it's still, you know, it's still functioning. But, you know, things like heart attacks are happening so often now. And, you know, it was before as well. But, you know, they're preventable as well. You know, if we concentrate a little bit more and we put a little bit more effort into what we're doing with our bodies and what we're putting in and what exercise we're doing, if we're doing any at all, kind of thing. I mean, it doesn't have to be strenuous. We don't have to run marathons, but, you know, it's just about being healthy and, you know, going for a walk with with your family and teaching your kids at a young age so that hopefully, you know, they are able to live happier, healthier lives. It's about being happy too.
Absolutely. Hey, Esmeralda, thank you so much. You know, we only got a couple of minutes left.
Oh, wow, that went fast.
Very fast.
Did I talk your ears off?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I know you, you had a lot going on this morning and, you know, you pulled through. So thank you for that, you know, and Tomoso Lorenzo, we'll see you next week. And good to have you back on board, you know.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
My man. And, yes, we'll definitely put on, start promoting this, say, on our page.
Yep.
We'll do what we can to help it, help the cause. And
awesome.
But I know my man, he's got a lot of networks and yeah, promoting it as well.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's been awesome to be on the show and such an awesome opportunity to be in here and just be talking with friends.
Yes.
It's good to catch up again, yeah.
It's always good chatting with you, especially off air.
Yeah.
Thank you, eh?
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good one.
Two times. Bang, bang, bang. She shot me again, but she's gonna be mine. Who can say bang? She shot me
one time.
Bang, she shot me two times.
Two times.
Bang, bang, bang. She shot me again, but she's gonna be mine.
She's beautiful, and I'm in love.